Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Sheriff Chip Simmons. Let me introduce you to somebody. This is Sierra Sylvan. Sierra has been arrested 32 previous times for felony charges. Now, you're probably asking yourself, what does someone with 32 previous felony arrests do in their spare time? Let me show you.
Because, you know, you would think that would keep you pretty busy.
This is Sierra pulling into the Circle Food Mart, and she's got a passenger in a car with her, a rather animated passenger in a car. But what she wants to do is take a look at this white car beside her, and now she's out of the car, and she's doing a little hiney check to see if that car next to her is unlocked. You can see that it is. She double checks.
She literally had her butt up against the car, looking all casual like, just casually checking the door handle. Oh, it opens. Okay, time to plan my burglary.
And then she gets back in the car, but she still has to wait because this dude over here to the left is still in the parking lot.
So she and her accomplice are in the middle car, and if you're looking at it from the point of view of the station, on the right is the empty car, the white car that she's checked the door of, and on the left side of their car is some guy standing up against his own car doing something on the phone. And they, I guess, don't want to, you know, burglarize this car while there's a witness right there. I mean, you know, in front of a convenience store where you never have cameras capturing absolutely every single detail of this incident.
In a second, she's going to get into the car. They're going to kind of act like they're going to leave the parking lot, but they're going to stop, as you see right here.
So they pull basically bumper to bumper back, like trunk to trunk, to this car, like they're going to take off. Then they back up, and then...
Then she gets out of the car. She'll get out of the car because she already knows. Remember, she knows that this car is unlocked. In fact, this is not the only car that they burglarized. She's done four others
that day or recently. So after, you know, 30 plus arrests for felonies, you know, what do you got to lose? They know who you are. You're going to get caught and you're going to go to jail again, I guess.
Here she is getting out in her bright green burglary outfit. She makes it just inside.
The burglary outfit. Yeah, I mean, it's not, it's very distinctive. It's not quite Borat level, but it's pretty noticeable.
The back seat just before that bicyclist sees her. Now you can see her rummaging through. She's finished. She got all the stuff she can get. She got some perfume, some money, some other stuff, and she passes that along to her passenger. And then they'll close the door, she'll get into the getaway car, and she'll take off into the night, undoubtedly looking for another victim, another unlocked car.
Yeah, I mean, it's early. If you're going to put in a full eight, you know, you got to find some cars.
There you have it. Sierra has been busy. 32 previous felonies, now end up being 33, 34, 35, 36, 37. That's all I got for today. We'll see you next time.
No, partially it was entertaining. Partially it was about this ridiculous string of felonies, but partially it was meant to be like, lock your doors. Lock the door on your car, dummy. Now, not locking the door on your car doesn't make it right for somebody to break into your car or to not even break in, to go into your car. But you kind of had the ability to thwart this. The vast majority of the time, I can't tell you how many times we have talked about this with all our different law enforcement agents. They all say the exact same thing. Most of the time, these folks are not looking for any kind of conflict. They're not certainly looking for anybody to resist them physically. They're not looking for a window to break or a lock or anything like that. They're just looking for something very, very easy. The roving gangs of teenagers literally go from car door to car door looking for the ones that are open, quick access, go inside, look for valuables or firearms, and then take off, and that's it. Or looking for the cars themselves to steal, which, you know, because somebody leaves, I don't know, the keys in them. So just lock it. Just lock it. That was the headline behind the video, even though the video itself was him teaching you what somebody did at the gas station. 437-1620, 437-1620. Interesting story out of the Pentagon yesterday. We do not have the full documents. It's kind of frustrating because it's almost everything that you would want to know, but it's not quite everything you want to know. Military.com reported it first. They have documents that they say show that the Pentagon, and this is, it's not a surprise, Pete Hegseth had actually announced this earlier in the year, but it's the details that at least I have not been able to find yet. Maybe I'm just not good at researching. You know, that happens too. But essentially that out of the 211 recognized faiths for the Pentagon, they're going to get rid of or have gotten rid of several of them. Now, John, if there are 211 to start with, recognized faiths.
Okay.
And you were the Secretary of War, and you're trying to, at least his explanations, are trying to make the chaplaincy corps more effective. And so we're trying to reduce the number of, not of faiths you can practice. I mean, you can practice any faith you want, right? But of faiths that are recognized in the sense that we're going to task chaplains with serving these faiths somehow or other. It doesn't even mean you can't have them on your dog tags, although that has been a little bit, you know, reported in both directions. But the military.com story says that you can even have your religious affiliation code on the dog tag. That's not a problem. But it's just which ones will be sort of official. You know, like Baptists are going to be on the list of you're in. Okay. So if you're going to cut from 211, how many will you cut? You want to take a guess?
200.
Almost 180.
Wow.
There are now 31 approved religions in the United States military. And this is the part that kind of annoyed me is we do not have the list of all the included, nor do we have the list of all of the dropped ones. But I can tell you that some of the ones that have been, what do you want first? You want the dropped list or you want the included list? What do you prefer?
Let's go with the included.
Okay, the included list. Buddhist, easy. Hindu, easy. Muslim,
easy.
Jew,
easy.
Sikh,
easy.
Baptist, Catholic, Lutheran, Methodist. I mean, I could give you 200 denominations of Christianity alone, not all of which are apparently officially recognized. I want to see the list if you've got 31. But, you know, agnostic is actually on the list of recognized, which is an interesting one because agnostic is not a religion. Agnostic is a position on the existence of God. An agnostic just says, I don't know. I was an agnostic. If you asked me to bet, I would have bet no, but, you know, an agnostic doesn't have beliefs. What's a chaplain supposed to do in ministering to an agnostic? I'm not really sure what you believe, and you're not really sure what you believe. And
so good luck.
I'm here if you need me to talk about the things we're not sure about. I mean, that's a weird one to include. Like, if you're going to delete religions, I mean, agnostic isn't a religion to begin with. Okay, so here are the ones that have been removed from the list. You ready? I'm going to go in alphabetical order. Atheist. Also not a religion. Atheism is not a religion. I mean, it's a viewpoint on the existence of God, denying, but a religion has things like, you know, beliefs, practices. Typically, religions will have rituals. They will have books of reference. They will have leaders. You know, the atheist, I mean, there are books, but the books are about why God doesn't exist. The books aren't about now what? You know, like there's, you know, and there are flavors of atheism. I mean, you could be, you know, believe that there's no main God. You could believe that there's no supernatural things. I don't know, but an atheist, it's not a religion. It's a belief list or a belief descriptor for a group of people who deny religion, and being anti-religious is not the same as having a religion, even though in the sense of neutrality from, say, you know, the schools or from the state under the Supreme Court and the First Amendment, you know, we tend to classify atheism as a religious perspective, and that's true, but it's not a religion. Certainly, again, if the goal is chaplaincy, I don't know why it was on the list in the first place. Like, the chaplain is there to, you know, dear private atheist. It's a weird thing, okay? Asatru. Listen, I have a master's degree in philosophy. I have never heard of Asatru before. Deist. Deist is also a weird one, and here's why. Because a deist is somebody who believes that there is a God, but he's separate from us. He's out there operating independently from us. The deism is kind of the blind watchmaker, the watchmaker. Like, God, whatever it is, put together the world and then, you know, skip town to go visit Vegas for a couple million years. And again, there's no worship in deism. There's no text in deism. There's no religious structure or rituals. There's no sacraments. So that's a weird one to have on the list. Again, Sergeant Deist. I mean, if a private's going to be an atheist, maybe Sergeant Deist. It doesn't make any sense to me. Druids. Oh, okay. At least we have a religion now. Ekankar. I don't know. Heathens. Again, not a religion. Humanism. Humanists don't really have a structure. They do have sort of beliefs about serving mankind and developing our human potential. And you could argue that humanism is a non-theistic religion. Okay, fine. I mean, they're willing to believe in something spiritual, maybe. Okay, it's fine. Magic. I guess this is magic, not the gathering. New Age churches. Okay, I mean, pagan. Okay, Rosicrucian, shaman, spiritualist, troth, Unitarian Universalists. Which, what cracks me up about Unitarian Universalists being not on the list is that it's actually, we have Unitarian churches. But now they're not going to get chaplaincy services. That's a weird one. Wiccans. So the question here is, what things would you have within the target service area for the chaplaincy corps? And, I mean, I think some of the ones that were deleted, I would want to know numbers. Out of the millions of people that are in the military, how many of them are witches? I don't know. But doesn't Lieutenant Warlock have spiritual needs? Seems like Colonel Druid. I feel like I'm playing the game of religion. Like it's a game of Clue, religious version.
Roll the dice, buddy.
I mean, Colonel Druid needs time in the forest with his robe and his basil or his oregano or his, holy rose bush. I don't know. But the point is, at least those kind of make sense to me as religion. So the criticism of this is it's anti-American, it's anti-First Amendment, it's unconstitutional, it's part of a cultural shift towards white Christian supremacy. And, to me, it's just a matter of, refining the service and saying that below this threshold of believers, we just aren't providing services for that. If you want to believe it, that's fine. Above this threshold, there's more than four Baptists. We actually have, majors and commanders who are Baptists. So we're going to minister to that. But it's the kind of thing that's gotten, raised a lot of eyebrows. And, that's all I have to say about that. 523 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about selling your home, buying a home, doing both, getting your questions answered, or just, you want to know if, now is the time, or maybe it's better to wait till August, or maybe it's better to wait till January, or, I don't know, you might have questions. And a lot of times, what we do when it comes to big decisions, especially that we're going to involve experts in, you make the decision, and then you go ask the expert how to do it. And then maybe along the way, you're like, well, is this a good decision? And, maybe call an expert and ask her first. This is what we're thinking about doing. Would you make this decision? Because, she may tell you, oh, it's a good decision. We could do that, definitely, Or, I don't think so. And that's one of the things Christina will tell you. She's told people, you can sell your house. I mean, I can do it for you, but I don't think it'll make you happy. I don't think you're going to get out of it what you think you will. Or maybe she'll tell you, oh, definitely, yes, we can sell this house fast, no problem, okay? But that's the point. You call her and ask. And you probably have a friend or somebody you go to church with or, one of your fellow druids who is a real estate agent. I mean, I don't know. And Rosicrucian, whatever. And but what do you want? You want somebody that you just know, or do you want somebody who you know is going to be very, very good at the job? And she's very, very good at the job. She and her folks at Levin Rankin Realty sold 209 homes last year, 4 week. Very good track record. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rankin Realty.
You've probably heard all those ads for life insurance. Just a few dollars a day, apply online in minutes, no medical exam. Simple, easy, and cheap, right? Now you're thinking, maybe I should get a quote. Well, smart thinking. Everyone should have life insurance. But here's what they don't tell you. Those few dollars a day rates, they're for young people in perfect health. That's why everyone calls Big Lou the 50 to 60-year-old not-so-perfect candidate. Like you. You take prescription meds and you're overweight. Winner, winner, fried chicken dinner. Well, Big Lou works with life insurance companies that want people like you with no surprises after you apply. In fact, if you're a 50-year-old guy with a few health glitches, Lou could probably find you $1 million of term life coverage for about $200 a month. So, yeah, you need life insurance. But unless you're young and healthy, you gotta call Big Lou, because he's like you, older, heavier, and on meds, too. Get a quote right now at 800-345-2789. 800-345-2789 or biglou.com.
We asked people we spoke with, what does it take to keep getting better with age?
Keep growing.
Remember where you came from. It's the foundation of who you are.
Show up for others. Learn something new.
Stay connected.
That's been our approach at Pennair for 90 years. Staying connected. Continuing to grow. And never losing sight of who we serve. Pennair Credit Union. 90 years strong.
Join Stefan Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Don't you hate it when you wake up and feel like you already missed something important? The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Weekdays, 5 to 9. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Professor Plum, you were once a professor of psychiatry, specializing in helping paranoid and homicidal lunatics suffering from delusions of grandeur.
Yes, but now I work for the United Nations.
So your work has not changed.
You know, Marco Rubio has been touring the Capitol, talking first to the Senate and then talking to the House, the Foreign Affairs Committee. It's the Foreign Relations Committee in the Senate. It's the Foreign Affairs Committee in the House. Don't ask me why they can't do these things in parallel. Why does Santa Rosa County call it the committee meeting and Pensacola City Council calls it the agenda review? And then the, you know, Escambia County Commission calls it the agenda review or the committee of the whole, which are different but not different. I mean, I don't know. Or, the you know, Milton calls it the work session. Why is it the public forum in one place and the persons to appear in another? I don't know. I don't know why nobody can just make terms and stick with them, but they can't. So anyway, House Foreign Affairs Committee, you have Democratic Representative Sarah Jacobs is going to ask all the hard questions of Marco Rubio. Ready?
Mr. Secretary, it seems questions. Like you have an issue admitting facts. You can't say that the president lost the 2020 election, just like you won't admit President Trump is losing this reckless war of choice, and just like you couldn't admit that the shoes the president bought you were too big. You clearly don't know what winning means, and not because the facts are unclear to you, it's because telling your the truth would cost you your job, and the American people are entitled to a Secretary of State who tells them the truth even when the president doesn't want to hear it, and my constituents, our service members, deserve better. Mr. Chairman, I yield back.
I don't know what shoes she's talking about. What is she talking about?
Representative Burchett, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you'd like to answer any of that.
Yeah, I don't know about the shoes. I mean, he gave me some Florsheim shoes. They're actually pretty good. They fit fine. I don't know what she's talking about. And maybe that's what she's referring to.
Your shoes look very nice today, Mr. Secretary.
Well, how can you see them? They're way down here. We're talking about shoes. Are you guys kidding me? I mean, is this the Foreign Affairs Committee or is this like a circus? What is this?
If you don't know the backstory, there was this claim that Trump gave everybody shoes, and the ones that fit little Marco's feet, as Trump used to refer to him, you know, were too big or whatever. And he's like, I don't know. He gave me some floor shims and they fit great. I don't know what the problem is. There was a picture that circulated on the internet of him having these two large shoes on that were like clown feet shoes on or whatever. But he's like, I love his answer, though. It's just,
how much shoes? Are you guys kidding me? I mean, is this the Foreign Affairs Committee or is this like a circus? What is this?
Is this the Foreign Affairs Committee? Oh, and what's great about the video is you can kind of see in the backdrop behind her is a staffer kind of smirking. And the assumption, and I don't think it's an unreasonable one, is this was the gotcha line that the staffer put in to see if her boss would ask it. And then when she did, she's like, oh, yeah, she used my things like an assistant producer. And then you got slammed for it. Oops.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The Votorama in the Senate now complete, lasting about 17 hours, ending just before 5 a.m. Eastern.
On this vote, the yeas are 52, the nays are 47. This bill, as amended, is passed.
Republican senators greenlight $70 billion to fund President Trump's immigration enforcement agencies, including ICE and CBP, for 3 years through the end of his second term. Nothing about the president's ballroom made it through. The bill goes to the House, which is not in session today. President Trump still pushing for peace with Iran.
Main parts of the deal is they can't have a nuclear weapon.
Now, the president hits the road today, traveling to Chippewa County, Wisconsin, speaking to farmers, touting the savings for them and the one big beautiful bill. Maine's primary is Tuesday. Embattled Democratic Senate candidate Graham Plattner campaigns today with Senator Bernie Sanders and Representatives Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ro Khanna. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 70 degrees right now with looks like clear skies. We'll get a look at our forecast here with Marion Caldwell on Channel 3 in just a few minutes. A 52-year-old Pensacola man's facing a false imprisonment charge after allegedly grabbing a woman's 3-year-old son outside of a Pensacola church and kissing him on his face. According to an arrest report, Joseph Perry approached the mother outside of the Gospel Temple Church on North Q Street, offered to help load groceries, then picked the boy up and held him against his chest while kissing his cheeks, forehead, and neck. The mother struggled for about a minute before getting her son back. Perry denied picking up any children. Investigators say he has been involved in prior documented incidents involving kids. A Pensacola woman with a lengthy criminal history facing some more charges after surveillance footage caught her burglarizing vehicles at a Circle Food Mart. Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons says 35-year-old Sierra Sylvian, who had 32 prior felony arrests, was captured on camera checking for unlocked doors, stealing perfume, cash, and other items, and then passing those items to a passenger. The sheriff said she hit 5 vehicles total, bringing her felony count now to 37. The sheriff's office is reminding drivers to lock their vehicle doors. A 22-year-old Pensacola motorcyclist is seriously injured after running a stop sign and hitting a pickup truck on Thursday. FHP says the rider didn't stop at the intersection of Lee Street and North T Street, then hit the driver's side of a Ford F-150. The rider was unresponsive at the scene and was taken to a local hospital. He was not wearing a helmet at the time of the crash. The driver of the truck was not hurt. Well, a flashback from the Foo Foo Festival is back. News Radio's Chris Bryan with this report.
Jefferson Alley's bright again. More than 300 rainbow umbrellas and translucent paper panels now hang above the pedestrian corridor beside the Jefferson Street Garage. The Umbrella Sky Project is a collaboration between the Downtown Improvement Board, downtown property owners, and the City of Pensacola. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Well, the judge overseeing the capital murder case against accused Florida State University shooter Phoenix Eichner has denied a defense motion to remove him from the case. The motion centered on a transcript from an unrelated 2025 hearing in which acting Circuit Court Judge Lance Neff described in detail how he personally would carry out a mass shooting based on his military experience. Defense attorneys argued the remarks could affect his impartiality in a case involving allegations of multiple weapons. Neff rejected the challenge within hours of its filing. Eichner's trial remains scheduled for October 19th in Leon County. It's 535 right now, 70 degrees. We've got clear skies. Let's get a check on our forecast with meteorologist Marion Caldwell.
Clear, calm, and mild to round out the work week. Temperatures this morning starting out in 70s, making way for middle and upper 80s this afternoon with mostly sunny but breezy weather. Wind gusts will be up to about 25 miles per hour at times. Forecast overall does stay dry, but as moisture starts to settle back into the area this afternoon and this weekend, we see those daily isolated rain chances back in the forecast Saturday and Sunday. Meteorologist Marion Caldwell, we are WEAR First Warning Weather.
Your next news at 6, we've got breaking news. Anytime it happens, this is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Meta is rolling out an Instagram subscription service for $3.99 a month called Instagram Plus, which adds features such as stories that last for 48 hours, double the amount of time for non-paying users. The new service is aimed at helping Meta diversify its revenue base. The photo sharing app will continue to be available for free, and nothing will change for non-paying users. SpaceX has told banks in its $75 billion initial public offering that it is set on the $135 a share price that the firm disclosed in its amended IPO filing. Reuters reports that the company's decision is the latest sign that Elon Musk is intent on holding the largest ever initial offering. CrowdStrike CEO George Kurtz said on CNBC that concerns surrounding AI-powered cyber threats are becoming a growing tailwind for the company, but investors expecting to see that impact in the first quarter were looking too soon. CrowdStrike reported stronger than expected results earlier this week and raised its full-year outlook. Futures are currently mixed. That's Your Money Now.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
In digital marketing, sometimes it's easy to get carried away with clicks and data and algorithms, but at ADX Digital, we understand that none of that matters without customers. We provide reports with click-throughs and view-throughs, but what really matters to our team is seeing your business grow with more sales. And just like you, we're local too. We care about your business winning. That's ADX Digital.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
Planning your vacation? Why not take Pep Talk with Meg with you?
A vacation? Oh my God, I can't wait to go. Okay, where are we going to go first?
No, take News Radio along via the app.
Oh.
Just go to your app store, search News Radio 92.3, download the app.
Okay.
And listen to Pensacola's news leader with crystal clarity wherever you go.
And it's absolutely free.
That'll work.
Get it now and tap the app to get News Radio 92.3 no matter where in the world you are.
Good morning, 538 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Great to have you on this Friday morning. The sunset was pretty for just a moment. It was one of those pastel sunset, sunrise.
Oh, okay, because you said sunset, and I'm
whatever.
Like, oh, boy.
Don't you know the song?
No.
Sunrise, sunset, the words don't matter. Okay, you
okay.
Also don't know show tunes. Excellent. Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. We talked to him yesterday. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Great to have you. A little bit of a follow-up story. We had this terrible incident where someone allegedly ran the light at 9th and Bayou, was captured on the red light camera. He wound up running into a female driver who was pregnant, killing her and the baby. And then the way this had been talked about was that there would be an arrest pending. You've now arrested this person, right?
Yes, we did, but the mother survived. The baby did not.
Thank you for correcting me on that. Thank God. Okay, but the baby did not, but okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so we, it takes time to get these cases together through, testing and all, and we did determine that alcohol was not a factor. So we have to get all of that together before we issue a warrant and make an arrest and complete the case. And I know it's frustrating to the family, and it's frustrating to us that it does take so long at times. But we did end up with this paperwork, with this warrant, and he has been charged with manslaughter.
And this is a case where just to remind people, this is a case where because we have the red light cameras, we were able to make this prosecution, or at least make it much more likely.
Yeah, there was no doubt what happened. He was speeding down 9th Avenue southbound. He went through one intersection that had a red light camera, and then the next one at 9th and Bayou, the collision was caught on camera. And both, he was caught on camera speeding through the prior intersection. So, we have everything documented on it. It's going to be a solid case.
Mm. Okay. Well, I mean, again, I hate the bad things happen, but I'd rather be able to punish the people who do the bad things, right? You had a kind of a weird incident take place at PPD headquarters there in Haines Street. What happened?
Well, we had an individual breach the perimeter of our back parking lot that is fenced in, that is secure, that has cameras. That's the key part here. And that's monitored. And he got into a unmarked police vehicle and attempted to steal it. He was quickly apprehended, and while officers were questioning him, he said his intention was to steal that police vehicle and lead them on a chase. So fortunately, that didn't happen, and he is well aware that the back parking lot is monitored very well.
So he climbed the fence, got into a cruiser, tried to steal it, and his goal was to drive it like he stole it. His goal was to lead you on a chase. And in the end, you guys, because you had the camera surveillance system, because you were monitoring all this, I guess he didn't even get, did he get the car even started? He didn't get out of the PPD parking lot, right?
No, he never got the vehicle started, never got out of the lot. He was captured very quickly.
Okay. All right. Well, word to the wise, don't be dumb, I guess. I just think, okay, all right. Also, at Wahoo's, we've had a couple of more incidents, right? Something that you and I talk about periodically. It's just amazing what people try to do.
Yeah, it happened again Wednesday night. Two individuals broke into the park or entered the park. Usually that's by climbing a fence. They were trying to rip the televisions off the wall and get into a cooler area. But again, this park is monitored by cameras. They were caught, arrested, and lo and behold, Friday night it happened once again with three more. They were also caught. So, we got to get to know around Pensacola. The 3 mile bridge is like 500-0. Baptist Hospital, the old Baptist Hospital, is 8-0, and I think the ballpark by now is about 10-0. So these are places that you don't want to challenge, and you're going to get caught. So they're monitored.
I think
that's the message that we want to get out to people.
I think you said 3 mile bridge, but you meant graffiti bridge, right? That nobody defeats graffiti bridge,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry. Graffiti bridge is what I was talking about.
Absolutely.
And
Palafox is back open to vehicle traffic. The first car down was the brand new PPD cruiser. And how's Palafox? Anything of note? Anything you guys have observed? How does that affect policing, if at all?
Nothing. So far, so good. There might be a little confusion on the some of the intersections that have what looks like roundabouts, but those are not roundabouts. You drive straight through like you used to do, of course, after you stop. But these are designed to slow traffic down. And so far, so good with the new Palafox. It looks great, and it's functioning very well.
I was surprised at this because I think when you see the renderings, it feels like it's going to be confusing that it's going to look like a roundabout. But as a walker and as somebody who thinks about it as what a driver would experience, like, no issue. It's almost you don't even think that it's going to be a roundabout. So I'm surprised that people have that expectation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, if you look at the, if you go down there and look at it in person, it's much too small to be a roundabout.
Right.
So it's really... So that's the difference between the rendering and actually being there.
Yeah, it just doesn't give the same visual that you would experience if it were actually a roundabout. So I'm a little surprised that people continue to think that that's going to be an issue because I just don't think that it's going to be whatsoever. Mike, I've been asking both sheriffs their view of this. I know you're not the chief, you don't set policy, but certainly you guys have talked about this. If Jimmy Patronis's bill, which it's got a long way to go. But if his bill to legalize machine guns goes forward, what does that do for law enforcement for you? And have you guys taken any kind of a position on this issue at all?
No, we haven't, and we're not going to on any kind of pending law. If it becomes legal to do that, then it's legal to carry a machine gun, and that's just the way it'll be. It was the same way with open carry. Whether we like it or not, or behind it or not, then that's not up to us. But our job is to enforce laws that are on the books, and if that becomes legal to do, then so be it.
I know we've been talking about it a lot, primarily because Jimmy's our congressman, but typically when there's big changes to the law like this, or even smaller ones, the Police Chiefs Association, Sheriff's Association, the unions, people put out analysis pieces, guidance pieces. Has there been anything like that from the law enforcement community as far as that goes?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. And I didn't think there was either, but I want to check because you would be much more likely to know than I would for sure. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. You got anything for us this week, Mike?
Yeah, this is a did you know, and it kind of comes from our last conversation the last time we talked about the new police car and things about it that are different, that are new. But this one has to do with the tires on police cars. I was asked about this again recently. Can the public buy these tires? And the difference on these so-called, they're sometimes referred to as pursuit rated tires, and they're engineered for extreme durability.
So they're designed to be resilient. They're designed to be what, heat resistant, puncture proof. I mean, I think of, there are certain kinds of tires that are better for this than other ones. And obviously the ratio of the sidewall to the width, the tread, all the thickness of the rubber, there's all kinds of things that go into that. But the pursuit rating, that's not just like a Z rating, because I know they're not flat, but what makes them so different?
Well, the stiff sidewalls, again, and which are a lot stiffer. That's why they kind of ride like a log wagon compared to a normal passenger vehicle.
Nice.
And so, we do feel it. It's not just the tires, it's the suspension and all, but they're specialized rubber compounds, and they're rated up to a speed of 168 miles an hour. And the question becomes, and this is what I was asked, can we, the public, buy police speed-rated tires? And the answer is yes, absolutely you can.
Well, cool. I'll put some on my Civic.
That's not something, I don't know if I would suggest it, because they can be a little pricey. And again, if you want your car to ride like a Kenworth, then go ahead and put those on there. But they're pretty tough.
Built for durability, not necessarily for comfort. I appreciate that. Mike Wood is the public information officer for PPD, and we always talk to him on a Thursday. Mike, as always, thank you for the information. Thanks for keeping us safe. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
So I have a quick task for you to try when you're driving around today. We always talk about Frontier Motors. You hear Dave Ramsey talking about it, and me, and others as well. But you might wonder, well, how many people? Okay, I want you to keep an eye out for the people who are driving around with Frontier Motors bumper stickers and license plate frames. The little vinyl stickers on their bumpers, or else it's on the license plate frame. And just look. And, what I usually tell people is, for the first day you're looking, I mean, think of it as a game. What else you got to do besides listen to me while you're driving, okay? You'll see one or two, maybe three. And then the next day you might see four or five. And then by about the third or fourth day, you'll start to feel like, oh, my God, they're everywhere. I can't stop seeing them. And that's the point. Frontier Motors has been around for 29 years. They have sold a lot of cars. They are into probably their fourth or fifth car that they're selling to individuals, depending on how quickly you, replace your car. And that's the point. Their goal is not to just sell you a car. Their goal is to sell you all the cars you're ever going to buy for the rest of the time that you live in Pensacola. And they're very, very good at that. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola area for more than 29 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
This June, Osceola Golf Course turns 100 years old. Step into a century of stories with friends and family at Osceola Golf Course. Join Osceola Golf Course this weekend for the centennial celebration with a story slam, great food, and a free family golf clinic. All weekend, don't miss the $100 tee time special. Range balls included, up to four players. Osceola Golf Course, 100 years strong and still swinging. Osceola Golf Course is owned and managed by Pensacola Parks and Recreation. Visit OsceolaGolf.com for more information.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
After a storm, portable generators are a helpful, temporary solution until power can be restored. Remember, 20-20-20 to keep safe while using a generator. Keep your generator 20 feet away from your house. Wait 20 minutes for the generator to cool down before refueling. purchase a $20 carbon monoxide detector to protect you and your family. For more tips on hurricane safety, check out the Hurricane Guide at floridadisaster.org/guide.
Our Senators Ashley Moody and Rick Scott and Representative Jimmy Patronis are standing up for radio listeners like us by supporting legislation to keep AM radio in cars. They know the value of local radio in times of emergency. Now it's time for Congress to finish the job and pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act. Learn more at dependonam.com. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Tune in Tuesday at 10 as Ray Palmer with Pensacola Sports will be the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Pensacola Sports' focus has and always will be on education, inspiration, and participation in various team, individual, amateur, and professional sports activities. Tune in Tuesday at 10 as Pensacola Sports will be discussing the upcoming events that are on their calendar.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions.
Pensacola's hurricane coverage headquarters is News Radio 92.3. With wall-to-wall coverage before, during, and after storms.
Variety of favorite sound effects from the Star Wars universe, the ion cannon firing an empire, but I think actually it's the very end of that sequence when R2's getting shot by the Jawas in the first episode, or episode 4 really, and it's the clank of him hitting the ground that is my favorite part of that sound effects sequence. I don't know why, it always makes me laugh a little. We were having a conversation earlier, John, about what movies you don't know, which is a lot, and I figured it out for you yesterday. It clicked with me.
It did?
Yeah. Instead of, you know, investing your life in knowing movies like I've done, you've wasted your life watching sports.
What?
See, I have also wasted a lot of my life watching sports. You, on the other hand, have not invested very much of your life in watching movies, and that's why I know them and you don't.
But I know technology and
that's true.
Kind of don't.
That's true.
I know cars. You kind
no,
of.
No, that's
don't.
Yeah. No, that's right. I'm not saying there aren't other areas, but it's hard to play technology clips on the radio. You want a minute to work on that one?
Yeah. All right. It's going to take a while.
5:52 on News Radio 92.3. Fascinating. Just an odd little story. I don't know. I'm just kind of full of odd little stories today. Friday is sometimes the day when I catch up on the stuff that hasn't managed to get into the show earlier in the week, or sometimes earlier even in prior weeks. But this one caught my attention, and I thought it was neat. Or just, I mean, neat is not the right term. Interesting. If you had to guess, John, do you think that voters in America are biased against gay candidates?
Yes.
Like, prefer not to elect gay candidates?
Yes.
Republicans or Democrats?
Republicans.
More likely. That's true. Okay? Republicans are less accepting of gay political candidates, and Democrats actually, it gains you about 4 points in a poll if you're a gay candidate, and it loses you, what was the number? I thought it was about 22 points if you're a Republican. Hmm. Okay? However... What was more interesting is that if you just tell people that a candidate is gay, it gives them a little bit of a disadvantage, okay? But what really seems to matter is if they look gay. So candidates, and they only studied men, so they only have the male example, but, you know, the stereotypical, like, effeminate appearance. And what they did is they took a person who looked, you know, masculine, and then they softened and shaped their face using AI to have a more, not really pronounced, but just a little bit less manly look. And they found out that male candidates who don't look manly actually get a significant disadvantage from not just Republican voters, but from all voters. So Democrats and Republicans are both, you know, at least arguably willing to elect gay candidates. But what they're not willing to elect is effeminate-looking candidates, regardless of whether they're out or not, or straight or gay or anything like that. 616 college students at a public university and a national sample of 1,900 students were recruited for the study. I just thought it was fascinating. And the conclusion from the study author is Democrats prefer candidates who are gay, but demand that candidates look and sound straight. They can't, you know, in reality, you know, people who actually are gay don't necessarily look gay or sound gay. But the idea is that you have this preference that people look more like the gender norm of whatever gender they are, and they just don't look much like the gender alternative. Liberal voters seem to have genuinely updated their views on gay candidates, they write, but the update comes with fine print. Gay men who present as conventionally masculine are welcome. Those who look or sound recognizably gay, you know, your gaydar pings off the scale. Those who look or sound recognizably gay are still penalized, even by voters who would bristle at being called biased. So there's your miniature fact for the moment. 437-1620, 437-1620. President Trump has been wanting to pass the Save the Vote Act or whatever it's called, and that did not happen. Save America Act. This was an electoral reform act designed by the president to put in national safeguards for American voter eligibility, the most known of which is to require proof of citizenship with an ID before you'd be allowed to register to vote. They did all kinds of things to try to tie ICE and Border Patrol to this anyway. Lindsey Graham was the, you know, primary advocate. He failed to get 60 votes to pass cloture. And so the threshold too high again on Thursday night. Was it four or five? I thought it was five. Susan Collins, these are all Republicans. Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, famously not in the like right voting block. If there's anybody that's going to go to the other side, it's them. Mitch McConnell and Tom Tillis from North Carolina all joined Democrats to thwart the move. So, you can have a conversation about whether the elements of the act are appropriate or not, and I think there's good conversation to be had about that. But you can also have the conversation about whether the federal government has the authority to really be setting these standards, since voting is largely something that the states are tasked with under the Constitution. That's why every vote or every state has, you know, different electoral processes. Some have winner take all. Some have, you know, shared. Some, again, it's every state is designed, you know, has the power under the Constitution to kind of set these rules for itself. And so there's always two arguments with any law. Is the law itself good, and is the law constitutional? I actually side with the view that this law tried to do too much that would be unconstitutional, even though some of the elements of it I would definitely agree with. 437-1620, 437-1620. No, I don't have time to get into that one. Oh, we have the senior chill out is today. That means that we'll be at all the Lowe's, at all the local Lowe's, taking your donations of air conditioners or of fans or of money. Of course, they have piles of them. You can basically just go buy the thing right there on the spot. You don't have to go into the store and go shopping for that. But that is today at all your area Lowe's in conjunction with Pete Moore Automotive and our good friends at Cat Country 98.7 and WEIRABC and the Council on Aging of West Florida. I'll be at the Fairfield Drive Lowe's for some time today, the Airport Boulevard, 9 Mile, Highway 98 and Gulf Breeze and Highway 90 from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So we're starting that in about 3 minutes. Get more information at newsradio923.com. You'd be amazed. It's something you don't think about a lot, but this is why we do it, is because a lot of our seniors who are really struggling on fixed incomes or limited incomes, a little bit of inflation makes it very hard for them to function. And especially anytime it's true, if they don't have air conditioning, it can really be a dangerous thing. I mean, a deadly thing, certainly a health consequence. So we want to take care of our seniors at the time when we're starting to get into the heat. What else do we have? Oh, I think I might have time for this. This is just a fun one. John?
Yes.
Would you be surprised to know that there are actually separate categories in the Guinness Book of World Records for male and female loudest burp?
Really?
There really are. I wouldn't have thought. Although maybe you say like men practice more historically than women. But I wouldn't have thought there'd been a biological component to volume of burp. But there is. So the loudest female burp on record was recently recorded by Kimberly Winter. 108 decibels, fourth row at a concert.
Yes.
Yeah.
I did.
That's a chick. I shortened
That's
it.
That's a winner.
You know, a little. But not to be outdone, because the men are still ahead, but only by 4 decibels. So not that much. This is the burp by Neville Sharp. And I don't know which one was the world record one. He had a thing on YouTube that had the variety, and they were obviously in different clothes and different styles. But I like him for trying some different, you know, colors on the burp.
Yeah,
There's a kind of depth there that I appreciate. So much at 112 decibels. I like the flavor of his burp better than... It just sounds like a walrus got stuck in the hiney. We'll be back with the Transgressors Memorial Service in 20 minutes. Listen on it.